On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, a roundup of the Olympics, a Civil War pension, a new school policy, and reminiscing.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome, everybody, to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
And it's been a big week as usual. Sorry we missed a week.
Yeah, it's been a 2 week. It's been a break. So,
you know, believe it or not, Petra, we don't make our living podcasting yet. You know?
No.
It'd be nice if we got hundreds of thousands of dollars an episode. And someday,
would,
maybe.
That would help things out immensely.
But for now, to pay for all the cat bud and the cat grass for our chairman Meow, we still have to have another job.
Yes.
And it got in the way last week.
Yeah, like all of life got in the way last week. It's been a just screwball nuts few weeks for me.
You know, and without going into specifics, I would like to just a little bit talk about that, how a whirlwind business adventure we're on.
Yeah.
And business gets tied in with like your hobby.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of a hobby, but it's also a business.
Yes.
And well, I mean, we can say quite a bit. We live in Hazard, and so we don't like to totally put everything out there as far as our businesses and everything.
Well, but, yeah, we kind of keep low key.
But in general, we own some property, and we're getting ready to buy some more property. And it's just been so, again, I don't know what the word for it is, but when the universe turns at just the right, you know, the right cog of the universe clicks into place and
sometimes you're stupid if you don't move.
And all the things in your whole life seem to have like, it's almost like that movie, is it Signs? Yeah.
Is it Signs?
Yeah, it's almost like that movie Signs. Like everything seems like, oh yeah, that's why I learned that. Oh yeah, that's why I know that guy. So he can do this and help me. Oh yeah, that's why I know so and so. It's really kind of trippy.
It has been. It has been. And we've had to basically use every resource available to us, every person that we know. It's been good crazy. It's been a good crazy.
Yeah, it has. So, you know, when you're doing a deal like this, we've been really working hard to, you know, but even saying work, it's sort of a hobby. It's fun, but we're piecing together, you know, friends who you have who are lawyers who can work on this part of the contract. And then other people who are accountants that we know, and they're going to delve in and do their part. And it just tons of things that just go.
And on that, even on top of all that, we've got regular life stuff going on. You still have a job. I'm still going to school.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying for what it's worth. One, that explains why we weren't here last week. But two, I just think it's interesting. And I would say to anybody, when the universe, whatever, dishes you up something, you better listen. I'm just saying. You have some opportunities in life like this. It's a time to go full force.
Yeah.
It's a time to put in 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week if you have to for a while, not forever, to get shit done when you have the opportunity, right?
Yeah. Sometimes you do have to turn it on. And right now, I think you are really, like sometimes I'm just like, slow down just a little bit. I had to have the conversation with you that, like, I'd rather live in a cardboard box with you happy and healthy than watch you drop dead of a heart attack from all this.
Well, we're still managing all the, believe me, we're fine.
I think we're good.
It is good.
You have more confidence than I do. I think we're good.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Olympics are going on, speaking of competition, things like that.
Yeah, and you have been surprisingly in love with the Olympics this year.
I've been into it a little bit.
You have been.
You know, it's been a pleasant break from, and you'll have an article possibly later we'll get into. It's been a good break from the political stuff as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
That's all that's dominating the news, and it should be. I mean, it's the presidential election, for God's sakes.
And it's a big deal this year.
And it's a big deal, but I think this has been a very welcome, at least for me, break from all that. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I've been watching some of it. I'm going to give you some of the highlights.
All right, because I have been not watching most of the Olympics. I find something else to do.
Here's some Olympic highlights that you and our listeners, I think, will enjoy. These are some ones you might not have seen in the news. For example, this Japanese pole vaulter you see here, his penis may have disqualified him.
What?
If you look at the replay about a million times, it is hard to discern whether this pole was dislodged by his penis.
Poor dude.
He's a Japanese pole vaulter, and this picture looks pretty damn close to where his piggy is bulging out, and he's trying to get over this pole vaulting bar, and there you go.
Okay. Well, now every woman in the entire world has now seen this. So
a million times.
Bless his heart. Well, you know, I'm going to go back to politics.
Hiroki like, Ogita.
If it was a woman's boobs, we'd have to see it a million times
too. Of course.
So this is equal opportunity, you know, objectification.
He failed to qualify, but anyway, he was just saying. To be
but
honest,
now everybody's
you know,
seen his dick.
Everybody's seen his penis through his pants a million times.
Yeah, those uniforms leave nothing to the imagination, do they?
No.
Like they're
they all have whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you are a pole vaulter, and it literally sometimes is the difference in literally millimeters.
Tuck it.
Yeah.
Out of the way.
Right? Why wouldn't you wear some really tight fitting underwear or something that flattens, that makes you flat down there. Tuck your penis in. He needs to get with some of the transgender people from...
Yeah, they know how to tuck that in.
Yeah, from Japan and teach that dude. He might have cost himself an Olympic gold medal.
But he might have millions of female fans now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was bad.
Yep, he might. And there's a little bit of an article about him saying he had no idea that... that this would start something like this.
Bless his heart. You say anything about somebody as long as you say bless his heart.
He says, quote, I'll do my best and get the results that I get. Last laugh. Or so that I get the last laugh.
Well, good.
So, but anyway, he didn't qualify, but that's what's going on in Japanese pole vaulting.
Pole being the word.
Yep, we got that one. Here is a lady. Not that lady. That lady.
All right.
Have you heard about her?
No, I haven't.
Bit of controversy with her in a way, but in a way not. You'll like this because you like women's rights and that stuff.
Okay.
And I believe she is from South Africa. Yes, she is from South Africa. Which, by the way, not to be a total idiot geography-wise, but it is confusing that there is a country named South Africa. That's literally the name of the country.
Yes.
Forever, I honestly thought that we were just referring to an area.
Of Southern Africa.
Of Southern Africa.
Okay. No, there's a country, and it's all the way down on the tip. It's South
It is
Africa.
The most southern point. It makes sense. But again, pick another name for
South
your country.
Africa. It's been South Africa forever. They had apartheid, Nelson Mandela, all kinds of history.
Yes. Well, anyway, this lady, Caster, how do you think you pronounce this? Semenya? Caster Semenya. Well, she wins everything because she has been gifted genetically. And I want to hear what your thoughts are on this.
Uh-huh.
She's gifted genetically, and every athlete is gifted genetically. That's part of being an athlete.
Yeah, pretty much all of these people are amazing.
Well, she's a female, but she's also gifted genetically in that she has a crazy high testosterone level. Naturally.
For a woman.
Naturally. Yeah. They've tested her a million times, believe me. And that's where this gets into a little bit of controversy. I mean, they've literally checked her to make sure she has, like, you know, female body parts. She's been checked everywhere. At one point, they tried to make her, and maybe did, make her get on some sort of hormone reduction pill.
Wow.
To regulate her testosterone level.
Uh-huh.
So she's not on those hormone pills anymore. She appealed all these things. And so, you know.
That's just her body.
Yeah, so what do you think
that's
about that?
Her body.
Think it's just the way it is?
Well, one thing that I noticed, because you had track and field on one night, and, like, the men were running, and, and, like, they're just whizzing around the track. Like, they just move so fast.
Yeah.
And then the next event was like a woman's event. And the difference in the speed is, it's amazing. It's amazing the difference in the speed. The women are so much slower than the men. They're absurdly fast.
Right.
I mean, just Olympic athletes. But you could tell watching this that there's a huge difference between, that's why there are men's events and women's events, because women can't compete with men. But if she's a woman, she's a woman.
Like, exactly.
She's not transgendered.
Nope.
It's not like she's trying to slip in or anything. This is simply her body.
That's what I think, too. And, right. I agree totally. But it was just interesting hearing all the things that they have tried to make her do and controversy and all that stuff.
Hell with it. That's her body. You know,
and she has.
I
and because of her high testosterone, like when you see her, frankly, I mean, she does look mannish.
She's on the masculine end of the spectrum, but
I mean,
there's a spectrum.
That's a good point.
Humans,
right. Right. Right.
You see feminine men and masculine women all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I shouldn't say she doesn't look like a woman. I mean, she is a woman, so obviously she looks like a woman, but you're right. She's on the most farthest end possible, probably, and still be a woman with all that testosterone. So
she's gifted.
Exactly.
Quit whining about it.
Well,
U.S. Olympic people.
I am with you 100%.
And you know, there may come a point sometime when we have to do, you know, quick genetic screening for some of these athletes, because, you know, it's probably going to become much more acceptable for transgendered. And here's knocking on wood, I hope to see that. But
oh, I'd give anything to see a transgendered Olympics. Can you imagine how fun that would be?
That would be.
Are you kidding me? That will be awesome.
100-meter dash in heels.
Yes. Literally, we'll have a drag race. Literally. I think it's funny. Well, that's the main thing about her. This all these stories, I have a lot of them on our Twitter account, which you can get to our Twitter account, by the way, through our website,
HillbillyNerdTalk.com.
Exactly. So through there, you can get to all these stories. I found some good ones. So all there's right. Caster.
Good for her.
Good for Caster. She won again. Of course she did.
All right.
We've got this jackass.
Jackass.
Ryan Lochte.
Jeez. And he's a jackass.
Of epic proportions, right?
He is a jackass on a global scale now. Okay? He was a douche when he showed up with the platinum blonde hair.
No shit. Every guy in America immediately
just
like
shook their head.
Yeah, like we all know. God, we're painting with broad strokes.
Oh, we are.
I don't care.
And you know what? There was a guy getting his hair bleached on Saturday at school, and that's fine. You know, whatever you want to do. But this guy it just reeks out of his pores.
It does.
Like, every time you see him, you're just like, man, I bet he'd be good friends with Justin Bieber.
There's no American down to earth good dude guy out there who didn't see that silver hair and have an instant of, are you fucking kidding me? Like, nobody. There's no guy that didn't do that.
I'm a lot less judgmental now because of my chosen profession. Whatever. Sometimes I walk past somebody and go, wow, you're expressing yourself very loudly. I hear it. But even I was just, but it's his posturing.
I saw a montage today looking through stuff for this story of YouTube of little interview bits, and I get it. You can take out parts of interviews and make people
sound idiots
in a way. But some of the stuff they were taking out of his interviews, he is a total idiot. God, he's a total idiot. And this story, of course, proves it. Because everybody knows what I'm talking about already, about him lying about his being arrested and all that crap.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's no wonder. Well, and just to recap, let's just recap in case somebody didn't follow on this story. Him and four of his other swimming buddies went out in Rio and got plastered. On the way back to the Olympic Village, they said, specifically he said, that they had been robbed at gunpoint. The story was that a car forced them off the road.
Uh-huh.
Then people got out of this car with fake uniforms, like policemen. So they thought they were policemen. Then they weren't policemen, and at gunpoint,
robbed them.
These fake policemen robbed them. He said at one point he had a gun pointed directly, like touching his forehead, and he said some like Dirty Harry line, like, "Oh, go ahead, buddy, if you want to pull that trigger, do it then," like something like that. Like he embellished shit like that too on
yeah.
top of this story. So anyway, so then they tell this to the press. And Rio gets a ton of bad publicity for it.
Yeah.
So a few days later, Rio's like, "All right, I'll show you, you little snot-nosed motherfuckers. Here's a whole series of evidence of why every one of you assholes are lying."
They had cameras everywhere.
Yes, of them going back into the Olympic Village with their wallets, with their stuff. Nothing happened. It was all bullshit, and this asshole made it up. And then he fled back to the United States.
And left his buddies there in jail.
What a douchebag. God damn, I hate this guy.
I think the whole country hates him. I don't care if he is a good enough swimmer to be on the Olympic team. I think everybody can't stand him. I mean, like, everybody kind of loves Michael Phelps anyhow. He's an amazing athlete. He's like our pothead icon.
He is. Yeah, he is, isn't he? Don't smoke weed. You may end up being the greatest Olympic athlete ever.
Ever. This guy is just, like, he's just such an asshole.
And he did an interview, if that wasn't enough, all this controversy. And his buddies were in jail for a while, indefinitely. Yeah. Apparently he let them out. But, I mean, it's a pretty damn serious offense to do this stuff in
yeah.
a foreign country, first of all. But, in this interview he did with Matt Lauer apparently didn't help a damn thing. Apparently he really didn't apologize. There's a million funny things on people's Twitter about.
Oh, did he color his hair back before he did the interview?
Maybe. I'm betting he did.
Yeah, he did.
He
has people who are trying to keep him from being such an ass, and he can't help himself.
Riff Ross, he tweeted, "Reporter, I asked you the question earlier this week, but it wasn't answered. Were you robbed? Ryan Lochte, I don't know." That's the kind of bullshit.
Like, he can't even.
I think this one was funny by Biscuit Pants. "Has anyone yet figured out why Ryan Lochte bothered to invent this story? I'm still stuck on that point." and I agree. It seems ridiculous. So
why he didn't beat Michael Phelps?
I don't know.
That's weird.
New Wexler, Ryan Lochte. "Sometimes a written statement is a better option." So everybody's just on this guy for being such a douchebag. And here, I found this, and I'm going to show you what probably really happened here. And by the way, it would help too. Let's point this out too. All these shenanigans we're talking about. This guy's 32 years old.
If he was 22, you could put up with it. He's a grown-ass adult now.
Yeah, and once I tell you what really happened here, it makes a little more sense why he invented this.
Okay.
And I'm going to be the first to admit, when I was young, I was probably 21-ish, I got arrested for public intoxication. I mean, I've done some dumb shit. You've done some dumb shit.
We've all done dumb shit.
We all have. And, I mean, but it's the level. At some point, all right, you get caught doing something. You don't, I've never done anything to this level for the love of God.
You just stop and apologize.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Even now, weeks after this, that's the one thing that he has apparently not done is straight up what he should have done in this Matt Lauer thing. And it should have been sincere, first of all.
He
not
should
just
have groveled.
Yeah, he actually should have learned a lesson.
Yeah.
And then told everybody he learned a lesson. So A,
but
I don't think he learned a lesson, and B, not telling it.
Yeah.
Is that what you think?
Sounds like it.
I mean, I would have been the first one to
like
everybody, look, I got drunk. I did a stupid thing. I lied about it. I'm sorry. I mean, God, it's so hard for people to say they're sorry, isn't it? So hard.
It's hard for people to say they were wrong.
Yeah.
That is the hardest thing to say.
It
I was
is.
Wrong.
I try hard to be okay with that.
Yeah.
To say when I'm wrong.
I think we both are pretty good at that. I think that's why we have a good marriage.
Yeah, I think so. Here is a little thing on this. He says on the interview that I over-exaggerated. And then, like, your guy, Al Roker, was saying, like, you didn't over-exaggerate. You freaking lied, asshole. It's not exaggerating.
Liar, jackass. Fire.
Here is what really happened, apparently. This is one of his teammates from that night. This is probably what happened here. And this is all a quote from this guy, who is Gunnar Bentz. All right, Gunnar. All right, here's what happened. They stopped at a gas station to use a bathroom. This is what he's saying.
Uh-huh.
There was no restroom. This is all quote. There was no restroom inside, so we foolishly relieved ourselves on the backside of the building behind some bushes. So far, I'm with him.
Yeah, I think we've all done that.
Vince's statement continues. I'm unsure why, but while we were there in that area, Ryan Lochte pulled to the ground a framed metal advertisement that was loosely anchored to the brick wall. All right, so there's some metal thing, advertisement, that's hanging on the wall, and he rips it off.
All right. He's drunk. He's being an ass.
He's drunk. He's being a jerk. Again, I've been with people when us guys get along. I can totally see
that
one of
happening.
My fraternity buddies. I have seen that in multiple places, actually.
Yeah.
Five or six guys get together. Somebody goes, hey, y'all, watch this. And they punch a light bulb or rip something off or do something destructive.
It's some small-scale vandalism. And if you pay for it and apologize, be okay.
Right. This Bence continues. I then suggested to everyone that we need to leave the area and return to the taxi. All right. So he's painting himself to be the guy. All right, let's get out of here. You tore something up. Let's get out of here. And there is probably
There's always one guy in the group.
Yeah.
There's always one voice of reason.
Here's what happened. So imagine this. They go around back, pee, he tears something off the wall. They go back to the taxi. All right. As they're going back to the taxi, two men who I believe to have been security guards then instructed us to exit the vehicle. No guns were drawn during this exchange. As Jimmy and Jack, these are other guys, were walking away from the vehicle, the first security guard held up a badge to me and drew his handgun. I then yelled to Jimmy and Jack to come back towards us, and they complied. So one dude was caught, and he's like, hey, jackasses, y'all get back over here, too.
Yeah.
We're all in this together.
Yeah, don't leave me here with these guys. Yeah.
Which, honestly, at one point, I would have just ran, I think. Those guys, and I have done that before. I
when
did
you
that
were
once.
Young.
I did that once when I was young. I was right in that situation, and one of my buddies had done something kind of like this.
Yeah.
And we were all there in our little wolf pack, and the police had us. And the guy nudged me, one of my buddies, like, let's just run. And I'm like, I will if you will. And we just fucking took off. We left our one buddy there.
He got in trouble.
Did you get in trouble? Nope. They didn't catch our asses. We went through the neighborhoods, through Lexington, Kentucky. They didn't catch our ass, though. They got old Ben. They didn't get us. Ben was the one that did it anyway.
Well,
that's why they should have left Ryan there.
Yeah, to face the music.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, they yelled to Jimmy and Jack to come back towards us. They complied. Then the second guard drew his weapon, and both guards pointed their gun at us and yelled us to sit on the sidewalk.
Sit on the sidewalk. Okay, that's not so bad.
Yeah, they're like, all right, you little asshole, sit down here till we figure out what the fuck you all have done.
Yeah.
All right, makes sense. And let's see, Bent said the guard refused to let him leave, demanding payment for the damage of the sign.
Yeah.
Quote, I gave him what I had in my wallet, which was a $20 bill. Jimmy gave him 100 reels. I don't know what that means. Bent recalls, which is about $50 in total. Must be their money. And that's what happened.
Well, okay.
Versus robbed at gunpoint
with men dressed as police officers.
Somebody holding a cocked gun to his forehead and all that bullshit.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, why didn't you just... Like, that's not that bad a story. Just say that's what happened.
That's what happened. I
got a little drunk. I tore down a sign.
Security guards called us and made us pay for it.
Right. That's a story.
That is like, put it in the scrapbook, memories right. made. Not like national headlines. Ow! Cat.
Chairman Meow. She wants to join the podcast, our podcat. God, she's got a fat butt anymore.
She's fat. She is fat right
good
now.
Good Lord.
I'm sorry.
So anyway, yeah, that turns it from a good story to tell versus, versus this. Right?
Yeah, it's a funny story. I mean, we all have a funny story about something like that. And
right. Like, that's not that bad. Yeah, he was a jerk for tearing a sign off the wall. Okay.
But it's excusable even at 32. Like, just making up the robbed at gunpoint story, though, isn't. That's too
right.
far. He took it too far. Oh! Okay. Cat's on the lap.
Poor kitty. Now.
She's heavy right now.
So that's the real scoop on this Ryan Lochte dude.
Yes.
He's just frustrated because Michael Phelps keeps beating his ass. He can't stand it.
Yeah.
All right. BBC. You like them.
I like BBC. What's going on?
This is a live BBC report from the Olympics. This guy has had a couple of incidences. He's had a memorable Olympics.
All right.
Here is this guy reporting live, which, you know what? As I say this, I may have to take a commercial break here, Petra.
Uh-oh.
This is going to squeal your ears.
I'm pulling them out.
All right. You can put them back in. All right. Let's see how this put your ears back in. Do do do. Everybody else heard it too. That little zoot kills Petra's ears.
It does. I'm on.
What's going on in the background on social media now? We're not going to zoom in, but rest assured, it's not that. It's just a hug. There's a bit of. They're reading a book.
He keeps going.
Dude. He's doing a live report from Rio. And behind him are two people clearly
having sex
in the sand.
Sex on the beach.
So he's keeping going. Here's what's happening.
They're reading a book.
Why don't you just shuffle over a little, dude? Like 6 inches. You're covering them.
I love this dude. This guy is so awesome.
Strange pose. Okay. It's merely a book. We'll find out what the book is maybe a little bit later on. So, we're not going to go any closer than that though. Some live basketball for you.
And he goes on with the whole.
I love the British.
Isn't that great? I knew you'd like that because you like BBC anyway.
They can say anything with that accent, and it sounds great to us.
Tregard 1932, reading a book, LOL. That is good impromptu.
Yeah, comedy. Absolute comedy gold. Right.
Well, this same guy has some more comedy gold here.
He's got another one?
Yeah.
This guy is my hero.
I told you, I knew you'd love this dude. Here you go. This is Ben Walker from the BBC.
Copacabana Beach.
More,
yes.
More
he's
live.
Back at the beach. Holy shit.
And more live.
It's like some sort of Hindu. Can we have a little look, do you think? There they go.
He's panning over to this boardwalk where there is a bachelorette party parading through here.
And they're having a hell of a time.
Drunk Brazilian women out on the town with this poor little reporter. He didn't have a chance.
A Brazilian hen party.
And he's calling it a hen party.
That's what they call them.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
That's a great word for a bachelorette party.
It is.
A hen party.
Right, can we see the bride? There she is.
Oh, you're going to do more than see her.
Right.
Look, she's coming in.
Oh, here she comes.
Interesting.
Like, there's a security guard kind of trying,
Yeah, you could, right.
He's kind of trying, but she's having none of it.
Yeah, I think the reporter must have said, oh, yeah, let her through.
He's going to get absolutely assaulted, isn't he?
It is Harry Potter voice, of course.
Yeah.
So here comes the bride towards him.
Hello.
I'm Dan. What's your name?
My name's Maria.
Isn't that awesome? Maria.
Maria.
You're clearly having a very good night. And all your friends are here. And you are the bride.
Friends.
When are you getting married?
I'm the bride in 1 month.
1 month.
September 17th.
Are all this lot coming to the wedding?
Yes.
Maria.
Maria.
They're all chanting Maria. Maria.
Hello, everybody. I wanna say something for my husband. I love you so much. You are my love. You are my crush.
Oh.
You can leave graciously
watch
that way.
BBC. BBC. BBC.
This is lovely.
BBC. BBC.
This is gold.
She's got a pretty impressive entourage with her there.
She does.
Well, that was a bit special, wasn't it? You don't get that on BBC One, do you?
So there you go.
That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
Fantastic. That just makes you grin. It's so cute.
Yeah. I mean, these are like the side stories that are just awesome, I think. I love that. Have you ever wondered what these Olympic medals are really made of? You know they're not giving them a solid gold medal, for the love of God, right?
Well, I know that, but no, I've got to be honest. I never really contemplated that much, but I'm sure you found out. Okay.
I did, since you know. Well, obviously, we have silver, gold, and bronze.
Uh-huh.
Let's just start with the bronze. The bronze value, tell them what's worth.
$2.38. That sucks.
That's what your bronze medal's worth.
All right.
95% copper, 5% zinc.
Okay.
So it's copper.
Okay. Well, I think that's what bronze is anyhow. I think bronze is
bronze another word for copper?
No. What is bronze?
Why don't they just say giving you the copper?
Bronze is like iron and copper mixed together, maybe. I don't remember.
Well, apparently their bronze is copper and zinc mixed together. 95% copper, 5% zinc. Why don't they just say give you the copper and make it copper? Part.
Well, it's been
just tradition.
Bronze forever, so no, they're not gonna.
Silver medal?
Brain fart. Okay. $315.
100% silver.
All right.
That's pretty good. That's it's real silver. 100% silver.
All right.
Not bad. What about the gold?
It is $565. And it is 98.8% silver and only 1.2% gold. I bet it's gold on the outside. It's gold plated.
Gold plated, yeah. That seems a little, I don't know. I don't like that.
Well, really, do you think they can afford to give every medalist a solid gold medal? It's already $565 a piece for a gold medal.
Not really, but I guess my issue is, like, what's this 1% bullshit? Why don't they just make it all silver and just paint it? Which I guess technically it's what they do.
Well, that is, it's plated. It's electroplated with gold.
Okay, so it's gold plated. So there you go. Your bronze medal that you've worked your whole life for and you finished third.
Is worth $2.
It's worth $2.38.
Well, you know, it's priceless, though, if you actually
won
that damn thing.
Yeah.
If you won that damn thing.
Hell yeah.
Either you're going to chuck it in the garbage or
how many of these
mean something.
How many of these medals you think end up someday in, like, yard sales and shit like that?
I bet they go to pawn shops and things like that. I think people think they're worth something.
Because once in a while, not even once in a while, more frequently than you think, like, somebody will end up, like, that's a former, you know, an NFL championship ring or an NBA championship ring.
They
and
show
those
up
people
strange
get,
places.
Yeah, they show up. Somebody gets down their luck and
pawns it.
Yeah.
Sells it.
So we don't get much out of the old bronze one.
It would be sentimental value or historic value.
Yep. And I'll finish up with one last story about the Olympics. Right. First of all, the USA dominated, as always. We won everything. It's no wonder
a lot.
It's no wonder the world hates us. They got to be jealous of us. We got everything.
We have a 2-ton cat. Sorry. I had to move.
We have a 2-ton cat.
Yeah.
No, we have everything. Every amenity, everything going on. And then even when there's something that's straight up just a competition of physical that doesn't have, you know, just straight competition athletics, we still kick the shit out of everybody. It's no wonder everybody
really
hates us.
I don't really understand how we do that either. Is it just because we're such a big country and we have so many athletes? Like the athlete pool to choose from is huge.
You know what it is, as you say it. It's because we are so lucky and so well off in this country that we have time to pursue all these leisurely sports.
Yeah.
Like Jamaica is a very teeny country. And that guy, Usain Bolt, fantastic. He's the greatest runner it's ever been.
Usain.
Yeah. What's his name?
I think it said Usain Bolt.
Anyway, like he's probably one of their, they have a track team and they have all that.
Yeah.
But they don't have, you know, I seriously doubt Jamaica has a badminton team.
Yeah.
Or a water polo team or all these other obscure sports that we have somebody in every single sport that's ever been.
Yeah.
Like the West Virginia girl that won the shooting thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a sport that we don't have somebody in.
Yeah, because why wouldn't we send somebody? There's somebody in this country good at it. Send them.
Right.
And I'm sure that they kind of
right, and we have the luxury, and good for us. I'm glad we live here. We just hit the lottery by being born here. But we have time to pursue these leisurely sports.
And I think we really do have just so many people, too. I mean, our population is huge. Think about our population compared to Germany or Britain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that's part of it too.
It's huge compared to a lot of countries, Jamaica.
Right. So that is why we dominate, and yeah, we've won by so many more medals. We probably doubled the next country, which was China.
Mm-hmm. Which is another big country.
Another big country, and they probably the same as us.
Yeah.
They probably have somebody in every single thing.
Yeah.
So good for them. Well, one thing they might as well not even compete with us anymore is women's basketball. Good Lord. It says that since they started women's basketball in 1976.
We haven't lost.
We've only lost or didn't place in medals one time, and that was in 1980 when we boycotted the Olympics ourselves.
Oh, okay.
Every Olympics we've attended have medaled or something.
Oh, wow.
These girls have not lost a game since 1992.
Wow.
Some of the girls on the team presently were not born before 1992. Wrap your head around that. These girls have been alive longer than since we've lost an Olympic game.
Yeah.
Is that not crazy?
That is crazy.
This year, Team USA scored at least 100 points six times.
Wow.
They won the gold medal. I don't know if they're going to show it in here exactly, but I saw some of the game at the end of it. Like something like 111 to like 76 or some bullshit. Just a total blowout. It's just amazing. Our women's basketball players are so far above the whole rest of the world that it is crazy. This says winning the sixth gold medal in a row means the U.S. has the longest winning streak in any women's team sport.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Margin of victory in Rio, 38.5 points a game.
Dang. But you do realize that, like, women's NBA players have to have a job on the off season to support themselves because they're not paid enough just for women's NBA.
Well, this ought to help.
You would think.
101-72. There was the final score over Spain. Well, and some of that, too, I don't want to, you know, it's a total separate subject, but some of that's economics of, I don't know how many people are going to a women's
Not game. As many, and there's not the endorsements. It's just not as publicized. There are not the endorsements.
Yeah. Well, and just like you were saying, I mean, I'm sure the people who own the WNBA want just as many people to go as go to the NBA games. Yeah, but there is a factor of just what you were saying earlier. I mean, there is a difference between men and women.
Yeah.
Men are more athletic. That is a fact.
Well, you know, last year when the NCAA tournaments were on, I swear for just a split second, I thought I was watching men's basketball, though, like during a game because like I happened to turn the television on right as a woman was dunking.
Right.
And I was like, dang, that's a girl.
Yeah, and it's awesome when stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
Well, all right. I
love women's sports.
I think it's fun to watch women's basketball because it isn't quite so. It's almost like it's like watching college sports, too, because it's not quite as perfected. Like,
right.
NBA is just, they're all too perfect right now. They don't miss shots. They just dunk, back and forth down the
right,
the court, just score. It's not really fun to watch that. It's more fun to watch either college basketball or women's.
If I had a young, if we had a daughter, I would specifically take her to some of these things.
Oh, yeah.
Just so she could see that stuff.
That is possible.
Right. Yeah. But like I said, in general, a lot of, especially guys, we tune into sports so we can see, you know, we can see Michael Jordan jump so high that his head literally goes above the rim. And yeah, we can be like, holy shit, did you see that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the greatest women athlete is not going to be that.
Yeah.
Ever.
And, yeah. And that's, we just do not have the musculature to compete on that level.
And that's okay. By the same token, men, and there are some sports, you know, they're not sports that we pay to watch as a country here now, but there are some sports you women do much better than us men in general, and people like to watch it better, specifically women's gymnastics.
Yeah.
That little Simone Biles, like, she's going to be America's sweetheart. She's an ex Mary Lou Retton.
Absolutely.
And she's carrying the flag tonight, too, by the way, as our flag bearer for the United States in the closing ceremonies.
She's just amazing.
So there are some, you know, that some
figure
of the stuff.
Figure skating, is, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that, yeah, that women have grace that men don't have.
Exactly. No, yeah, 100%. Yeah, that you're right. All right. Four.
In the sexist conversation.
No, that's good. And did you have your article about the lady writing a tip?
Nope. It's my computer's already shut itself down right now, so.
Your poor computer. Well, I have a story.
What's your story?
My story is about somebody that is still receiving a damn pension. There's still somebody receiving a pension from the Civil War. Can
That's
you freaking
crazy, Hank.
Now, it's not obviously the person that was in the Civil War, but it was the daughter
of someone.
Yeah. Somebody who was in the Civil War's daughter is still alive and is receiving a pension from the United States. Can you believe that?
No, that's hard to believe. But if, I think we figured this out. If he was super old when he had the kid, and the kid is super old now, it's possible.
Oh, it's possible. It's for sure. The Civil War ended more than 150 years ago. The government's still paying a veteran's pension from that conflict to one person, Irene Triplett. She's 86. She collects $73.13 a month from her father's military pension.
Wow.
That is insane. Like we did, like you said, we did kind of figure it out. Her dad must have joined really young in the Civil War. He must have fought as a very young man.
Yeah.
And then as he was older, had her, you know, fathered her very late in his life.
Yeah.
It has to be. The only thing it could be.
Yeah, because, I mean, she's 86. So, 86... Like 150 minus 86. Where's my calculator?
Oh, good Lord. You have to do the math, really.
I do.
Miss OCD. What are we doing? 150 minus 86.
64. So he was at least, so 64 years after the war before he had her.
Yeah.
So he was probably in his 70s. Damn. Sure that was his kid?
That's funny. I think more than what I think I'm kind of tripped out about, and this would be under Hank's ponderings for tonight, for tonight's episode too, but I think it's kind of trippy to think that puts in perspective how long the Civil War was. Not that damn long ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we had slaves. People owned another human fucking being.
Yeah.
About 150 years ago. And this person is still directly linked
to somebody who fought in that conflict.
Yes. Don't you think that is just amazing?
There are times when I feel like I feel like we need to be so much further along, and there are other times when you just have to go to shake your head and go, wow.
Yeah.
You know, yet we really have come a long ways.
We have.
And really, you know, 150 years, like, think about how much technology, how much society,
yeah,
everything has moved.
Yeah.
Not always in a good way, but it's moved.
Even on the most basic things, like during a civil war, when you were injured or whenever somebody was sick, they didn't know microscopic organisms caused disease.
They didn't bother to wash their hands.
Right. Midwives would literally go patient to patient, dressing this person's wounds, cleaning out their wounds with their hands sometimes, going straight to the next patient
person.
Or a midwife delivering a baby, and had no concept that washing your hands did anything.
Yeah.
Wrap your head around that.
How many people suffered because of that?
Let's didn't know.
Well, if we hadn't, well, never mind.
What?
If Christians hadn't, like, burnt out, you know, there were Muslim physicians, like, before the Dark Ages that knew that.
That at least
they
knew that.
They figured that out. And we put ourselves back into the Dark Ages and just thousands of years of suffering.
We were still thinking
hundreds and hundreds of years of suffering.
We were still thinking evil spirits caused all this stuff.
Yeah.
Basically.
Humors, ill humors.
Leeching. Give them a good leeching. Leech out some of that bad blood. That'll fix them. Yeah.
How did we survive?
I don't
know. Well,
you know, one of the thing, you know, one of the major breakthroughs of how American medicine, or I guess it's modern, probably Europe also, but how we even figured that shit out was because of midwives. That's why I use that example. Did I tell you that story?
Yeah, yeah.
The I think it was about the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that wasn't that long ago.
No.
And basically, some med students studies or some university studies were some midwives did wash their hands regularly more than other people. And basically what they figured out to begin with was people who had babies that were delivered by midwives were like, you know, something ridiculous, 5 or 6 times less likely to die from complications of childbirth within the first few months after childbirth. In other words, mm-hmm, if a doctor delivered your baby, you were pretty much fucked.
Because that
doctor has
been always nasty.
He was always going from person to person, changing bandages, doing whatever, never washed
his hands,
and then he'd go straight to the person having a baby and deliver a baby.
And she would have all kinds of
bleeding and
problems.
He'd stitch her up. And if he had to reach in there and do things with the baby and turn the baby, whatever.
Yeah.
And so they figured out, and then they started seeing, well, what are these midwives doing differently?
Yeah.
And it was pretty late in it till finally they're like, the only thing we can figure out is washing her hands, but that just doesn't make any damn sense. Like, what would that have anything to do with it? You're like, oh, my God. Really?
But, like, people today still don't wash their hands.
Yeah.
People today still don't, are nasty. People are nasty.
Well, anyway. So, the Civil War, not that damn long ago, and there's somebody still getting a veteran's pension from her dad.
Crazy.
I thought that was pretty crazy, too. And this is from Arkansas.
Okay.
You know, I think Arkansas has to be a lot like Kentucky.
Yeah, I think it is.
I think they are. They've got their share of, you know, they've got their rednecks. They also have their white trash. You know, it's kind of like here, I think. they got their fair share of all that.
All right.
This is a sign posted at an Arkansas high school. It says Catholic High School for Boys. It doesn't say the name of the real of the school in general.
No, just Catholic High School for Boys.
Catholic High School for Boys. Read that sign there, Petra.
Stop. There's a stop sign there. If you are dropping off your son's forgotten lunch, books, homework, equipment, etc., please turn around and exit the building. Your son will learn to problem solve in your absence.
Isn't that awesome? With turnaround and problem solve in bold letters and underlined.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Isn't that great?
About time.
And you know what? I don't think they're getting a lot of slack for this. I think this is actually like that made the CNN the headline news.
And people are like, yes.
Yes. And then they had a little psychologist come on afterwards to basically say, yes, this is a good thing. People, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. We do that too much, don't we, as a society?
I think we've gotten so much worse lately.
Can we just admit that we all do that too much?
Kids, oh my God, we just...
I told you about
the
customer.
Take care of their every need.
I told you about the customer I had this summer who was a 15-year-old boy.
Mom still cuts his food.
Oh, my God. She's such a helicopter mom. I mean, she hovers over him. I mean, I've never seen it so bad.
Yeah.
This 15-year-old boy, who there's nothing wrong with him, mentally or physically.
Yeah.
But I told you, it took me a while to figure out whether he was seriously mentally handicapped or not. Because he couldn't talk. He had the worst flexed posture of his spine and trunk. He would mumble.
He has no self-esteem whatsoever.
Zero.
And she hasn't let him.
No.
God, that's abuse. That is a form of abuse.
It has a terrible story. And remember me telling you that here's a few things on this kid besides just that. This kid has never ridden a bike. He doesn't know how to ride a bike.
He'll get hurt.
Yeah. Mom doesn't want him to ever ride a bike. Listen to this one. She cuts his food for him.
Yeah.
She cuts his, he's a 15-year-old boy and she cuts his food for him, cuts up his meat or whatever he's eating.
I kind of hate her for what she's
doing. I do too. Can you imagine that household?
No, I can't.
And then also, he doesn't know. I want to say he doesn't know how to cook, but you'd say, well, 15-year-old don't know how to cook. No, I mean, he doesn't know how to, or he doesn't do it at least. Pour himself a bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
Go get a snack. Anything like that. His mom does all that for him. 100%. He never gets any food for himself in any way.
I mean, we're both very self-sufficient human beings. Every now and then we might make something for each other, but then you get your own bowl and I get my own bowl. I mean, whatever. We don't.
Can you imagine having, and maybe he's 14. He's going to be a freshman this year. He's going to be a freshman in high school. So I'll say he's 14.
He's just going to get his ass handed to him in high school. It's going to be bad.
Between these white trash kids around here.
Yeah.
They will eat him alive. If they even, first of all, him just walking in looking like a human question mark is going to make him a mark. But if they ever find out that he doesn't know how to pour milk into a bowl of cereal, can you imagine?
No.
He's going to spend a lot of days in a locker.
Yeah, he is.
and you know what? In a weird way, I'm going to say this. This is going to be a little controversial. In a weird way, as long as they don't tease him to the point that they kill him, all right? I don't want anybody to die. But if they tease him a little bit, it might spur him to, like,
toughen up a little.
Learn how to ride a bike. You know, if somebody, there has been instances.
There's sometimes.
No, I'm saying very little.
Not bullying. I'm not saying bullying. Sometimes teasing within a group of peers can get everybody on the same page.
I agree.
But there has to be some level of care between them.
Right.
When they don't care about that other human being, though, it becomes bullying.
That's a good way to put it. I'm going with what you just said.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Because bullying, period, is bad.
Bullying, I guess, comes from a bad place. And so does teasing in a way, but it's certainly a different, what you just described. There's something different.
I mean, I have friends and we tease and pick, but it's in a good-hearted way and, you know, oh, you're late again. What's wrong? You know, I mean, it's to get everybody on the same page where they need to be.
You know, like I'm trying to think of times in my life. I can remember like preschool or something. I remember four or five kids making fun of me because I couldn't tie my shoes. And by the end of the next day, by hell, I knew how to tie my shoes.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck you, little assholes. I'll figure it out myself. And I did. Yeah. I reverse engineered.
It's weird how you tie your shoes. And, you know, it's
and there's several things like that.
It is. That always breaks my heart that you had to teach yourself how to tie your own shoes.
I had to teach myself. I had to teach myself a lot of things like that.
Like, your parents were just old and...
They were old and
not
done.
Doing it.
They were done. They had their kid. My older sister's 10 years older. And yes, when I came along, my parents were just done. They'd worked all their lives. They both still had full-time jobs. Yeah. They were... There you go, son. Good luck.
Drop you off at school. Leave your ass. I feel bad for you.
I had an aunt... teach me my ABCs at my grandmother's house when I was probably, again, one of these preschool years. Somehow she figured out I didn't know my ABCs.
Yeah.
And I remember her taking me, like, in a back room of my grandma's house at, like, a Thanksgiving family get-together.
And teaching you
the song,
I guess.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Jeez.
But there were things like that I remember specifically being embarrassed by that I didn't know how to do.
Yeah.
Tying the shoe was a big one. I do remember that. And I'm proud of it, too, because, like I said, I reverse engineered that myself.
See, this is where being the oldest child is so much different, okay? I was the first child in my family, and I was also the first grandchild that grew up around my grandparents.
Yeah.
Like, I was the very first grandchild with my dad's grandparents, and I was the first grandchild that grew up with my mom's side of the family. So I was the little fucking darling, okay? Like, I absolutely had so much attention. Like, I could read early. I knew my ABCs and colors and, you know, watched PBS and talked. And, like, nobody ever baby talked to me, but I had a lisp. I had an awful lisp. I was taught like this all the time. But it never slowed me down any because I talked to adults all the time. Like, I hated kindergarten because I hated other kids.
But, you know, and I guess it's different kids, different personalities. You know, we're all just a big psychological experiment. But that being said, I will say that I'm probably the person I am today successful because of that.
You're so self-sufficient.
I'm extremely self-sufficient. I will figure things out. Just get the fuck out of my way. I'll figure it out. You know, I mean, I work with people. I don't mean I'm that way, like an ogre. But I just mean I'm not afraid so much of not being able to figure something out because I will figure it out.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Once I put my mind to it, I am going to figure this out. If anybody can do it, I can do it.
We both have extreme confidence in our abilities, but they come from different places.
Yeah. I remember just all kinds of goofy shit like that. I remember knives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is, I was such a little redneck kid. I had a knife collection.
Uh-huh.
You know, I collected little pocket knives. That's a common thing in Appalachia.
It is. Yeah.
Everybody has a case knife. You have a grandfather, they give you a case knife to start your collection. It's kind of cute, actually.
It is. It's a weird thing.
But, you know, living out in the country, living out on our farm, I got into this, not just collecting knives, but I wanted to, like, carve and whittle and do woodworking and wood carving and bullshit like that. Well, that's all great, but when you're 5 years old or six...
and have no adult supervision, let's make this clear.
Right, and, you know, your dexterity's not quite developed yet,
bad?
Oh, I've cut myself weekly to the point of probably should have had stitches multiple times. To, you know, like I'd be whittling on something or trying to carve something and all of a sudden, you know, it'd slip. And of course your grandfather gives you a knife that's literally razor sharp. Like,
yeah.
Like my grandfather would show me on his arm, you know, this is the old redneck Appalachian thing. They sharpen a knife and then they rake it on their skin like it's a straight razor to show you that it's cutting the hairs on their forearm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he sharpens a knife like that, and then, okay, got there.
A five-year-old.
Got there and...
Holy shit.
Figure out how to carve me a wooden donkey.
Yeah.
All right. How the fuck do you not think what's going to happen?
Wow.
I bet I spent 5 years like constantly in a
band-aid.
Yes, in a band-aid on one hand, one way or another, for at least 2 or 3 years. But you know what? I figured shit out. I figured you better whittle away from you, and you better watch that crap.
It's a wonder you didn't stab yourself.
Don't put it on your leg when you're trying to do that. I remember stabbing myself in the leg once. Like, like just...
So poor little idiot.
So I guess I didn't. I guess I lived.
Oh, bless your heart.
So yeah, we got our confidence two different places, I suppose. But
yep.
My goodness.
Yep. Wow. Wow.
So that's how it goes. That's how it goes, Petra. I can't help it. Where can they find us at?
At hillbillynerdtalk.com. I'm smiling so big I can't. Talk.
That is funny. And get your whittling supplies off of Amazon once you go to our website.
Go through our banner and we get a little kickback and maybe eventually we'll buy a new microphone cover.
Maybe. Or a new knife. I still have my pocket knife collection. It's one of the little things I tote around with me from place to place.
That's awesome.
I have about 10 or 12 of them. You know, they're small enough. I don't mind collecting things and taking things around with you that's
useful and small.
Yeah, yes. It's more small than anything. These knives aren't that useful, but pocket knife collecting is certainly a Appalachian thing.
Growing up, this is so funny. This is the difference between pre-9/11 and post-9/11. When we were kids, like I had a big old Swiss Army knife that I carried in my purse all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was handy as heck to pull out and open boxes it was always handy to have a knife. Everybody I knew carried a knife. We never thought about sticking each other with them in school. I mean, it would be unthinkable.
Oh yeah.
To do that. But like everybody had a knife. The girls had knives.
You're talking about at what age?
High school.
Oh yeah. Well, I didn't know you girls had knives, but I can tell you. Well, I was born in 1969, grew up in the 70s. You know, by high school, I wasn't carrying a knife around just because of I just didn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
But I specifically remember in grade school, I mean, because other kids were getting pocket knives from their grandparents, too. We'd go out on the playground. This sounds like
knives.
I swear to God, this sounds like I was born in a Little House on the Prairie times. But
But
I swear, me and my buddies, they'd bring some of their knives.
Yep.
I'd bring some of my knives, and we would literally trade knives on the playground at school. And we'd all trade our knives around. Some might have, some Case XX rare knife, and they'd trade it for my Remington rare whatever.
Yeah.
It'd sit around and trade knives.
No.
Had them all the time. Had a pocket full of knives all the time in grade school. Anybody could have in high school. It's just by then I was just beyond doing it. But.
Well, I always had a knife. It was useful. Like I can remember, pulling a knife out of my purse in chemistry lab and using it to cut tubing and just stupid stuff.
Knives are handy.
They're handy to have.
They are handy.
Now you would go to jail. Like if you showed up at school with a Swiss Army knife, you'd go to jail.
You would.
Yeah.
You would. I guess that's
changed
just,
so much. But like people would think of hurting each other with knives. We didn't do that.
No, I don't guess we did. Again, just ourselves by being stupid.
Yeah.
But no, I don't remember ever wanting to stab my buddy with a knife. I knew it was just, we got in fist fights.
Yeah.
I tried to stab him.
Absolutely. That same with us.
Oh, well, a different time.
Yeah.
Little House on the Prairie times. Back in the 70s.
80s. It was the 80s and 90s for me.
Nice. Petra, let's do a sign off.
All right, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.